Talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man!
You
are in the zone. Let's go!
It's a doubleheader action today. It's the Pack Meter. Nick Anderson and Matty J in the house here at 10 Tavern. Matt, we've done two shows in one day. Later, we might be at 95.7 The Fox. Yeah. Maybe do a little DJing. What do you think?
School is out. Last of the graduates are on their way. It's a great Friday.
Yeah, and 10 Tavern is happening today. All I know is you've got to order the Pack Meter special. Rigatoni with the sirloin steak in it. One word. Ooh.
Giddy.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
Hey, that's a Friday afternoon little giddy up action giddy up. From the Matty J.
I would.
Hey, guys, come on. All right. Let's go.
Well, we've got a little baseball regional action. We got golf going. We'll be talking Warriors, Toronto Raptors here in Team 10 Tavern. And I'm telling you, Matt, Nick's never been here before, but tell Matt or Nick about the food here.
It's a top shelf, A number one, classic chef, has his own ideas, and I love the fresh and the obvious variety that they have. And the plate presentation is as good as you're going to get.
No question. You haven't seen it, Nick, but just wait for the show. Amy Bo Peep, Matt's wife, will be bringing out some food for us. But we're got a lot to talk about today. I want to bring up a little Fresno. Well, let's talk about Helen Agri Enterprises, because it was 108 degrees last few days. Now today it's 80. What are the trees doing? And how are you handling these trees
going? I was going to say, Matty J is probably an expert now in agriculture. He's up there in Madera South High School. So he drives by all the trees every morning, trees and vines and anything else. So he could probably give you a schedule on water and anything else that's going on. But if I'm a plant right now, I'm looking for as much fertility that I possibly get my hands on. Because this weather, Nick, oh, boy, we're up in 100 triple digits, and we're back down again. We're up again. We're down. So trees can't quite get started. They need a jump start, Matt. So really, you got to get back out there. If you've missed an application or two because of wet weather, you really need to consider taking those applications, trying to co-mingle those in with the next one. But don't forget, you got to feed that tree, because there is a crop that you've got to produce.
Well, you call Helena Agri Enterprises, 559-261-9030. The pros will get you on the horn, and they'll take care of you, because they want to put money in your pocket.
I want to know what Helen Agri Enterprises can do for my new sod that I put in.
Ooh.
My dog has a tendency to do his little thing on the grass, and now I've got yellow spots. I just put it in. What kind of chemical or anything do you have to enhance that fertility?
That's going to be a tough one. I think everybody goes through that, Matt, including myself. And I've got access to all these fun things, right? That's one you're going to have to figure out. Why don't you get that synthetic turf and have them go out there on that? That won't die on you.
There you go.
So do you even handle – so also Helena does weather monitoring systems, so you'll know what kind of the temperature the tree is from the tree all the way to the end tree on the orchard, which
is everything.
Awesome.
It's amazing technology. It flies drones across the fields now and be able to check fields, look at stress areas, things like that, and go back out and take a look for yourself. Things are becoming more and more advanced every day, as you can imagine.
Well, basketball, you know, Nick is our basketball guy. You live, breathe 12 months out of the year. The Warriors, you know, Matt brought up the other day, we should have bet the house, take the 6.5 points in Toronto. Well, the Warriors are favored by 5. Is this a teaser bet, a sucker bet?
I wish I had an answer for you for that. I don't know. The Warriors are going to have to pull some magic tricks here to get through this series, in my opinion. The way Toronto shot the other night, I mean, do you think they're going to be able to shoot like that again?
You wouldn't think so, no.
I don't think so. So I'm hoping, especially away, but they played like they were playing home. They played almost perfect basketball the other night.
Yeah, I don't think you're ever going to get, as I told you earlier, Nick, ever going to see, at least in this series, anything remotely close to a sure thing. And last night's game, 6.5-point favorite, not 2 nights ago, 6.5-point favorite for the Warriors, was the greatest single bet that I've ever seen. You very rarely ever see a gift like that handed down. I don't know what they were thinking. Maybe it's this idea that they're going to play with only one all-star in the backcourt with Steph Curry. They're going home, though. That's an advantage. I can't imagine an Eastern Conference championship team playing against a one-man team was going to lose, and sure enough, they didn't disappoint. The score doesn't indicate what a blowout it really was. Toronto owned that game.
Yeah.
So
sure.
Toronto wins tonight. Is it over? 3-1?
Yes.
If it's 2-2,
I don't think
the Warriors
won
it.
Do you want? Well, let's talk about this. Let's before we go that way. Thoughts on Klay Thompson? I've had a hamstring injury before. Matt, I'm sure, has had a hamstring injury before. And it's going to take, I don't know how, it didn't look too good.
Nick's never, the bag meter's never had a hamstring
well,
injury.
Well, you got to have
You have to open up your stride at least 6 inches. A 6-inch stride or better to get a hamstring injury.
You saw me run. There's
anyway,
no way.
I'm just saying. Anyway, yeah.
You're absolutely right. I never had a hamstring.
But the hamstring, go ahead. I know where you're going with this. How in the heck are you going to come back and play that game at that level with the bum hamstring?
Well, Matt, you know this better than anybody. That's going to, you can play. But I'm telling you, you're going to be handcuffed when you're in that situation.
But it is a three-point shooting contest.
Yeah, but you got to get yourself open, sir.
Yeah, and you still have to play defense. And that's Klay Thompson is underrated, I think, in the defensive category. And to make those sudden moves of direction and all that, as you said, to try to work to find the open shot, good luck with that.
I mean, you've watched their offense. You've seen when those guys, they're running. I mean, they're full speed all the time doing certain screens, things. He's not going to be able to take off. He's gonna be flat-footed in a lot of cases. So either he's going to be wide open, they're going to have to set a screen right there for him to shoot the ball, because once he goes out there and he starts playing the way you're supposed to play, that's going to get aggravated just like that.
Okay, before Steph Curry showed up, we talked about today on our show that the ESPN top 10 every night was like 8 out of 10, slam dunk. Nobody could shoot. Steph Curry shows up. The Cole Andersons of the world, everyone wants to shoot threes, and they're going way better now. What do you think the fans like? The inside game? Because Matt goes, hey, maybe slam dunks, you give them 3 points now. Start building it inside. What do you think the fans like? The threes? Because it's just a three-point shooting contest. Or do they like the inside post up and start working both?
I'll tell you what, the three-point shot, especially when it's the distance that they're spacing themselves nowadays, on how far they're shooting the three. Have you both noticed that?
I can't imagine.
I mean, as far as it is, you don't know. It's that much further. But what they're doing right now with three-point shots and as easy as they make it look, fans love that. But I don't think they'll ever take away from that inside game when you can get in there and you can put the ball, and you can flush that ball over another 7-foot person. That's basketball right there.
I agree. I just think that the overwhelming majority of the fan base, unless you are a fan, a spectator, and a local community member of the Warriors Nation, or maybe the one or two other clubs out there, no one shoots it that well, so you're going to be a fan of whatever is effective. And what's not effective anymore, apparently, is the inside play like I grew up with, watching the likes of these great centers come through the league. There's just no more of those type people, and the game has evolved to an outside shooting game. But everyone in America is talking that it's out of control now. College basketball is moving that three-point arc for one reason, to discourage them from shooting the long-range, lower-percentage shot and start encouraging more basketball played in the interior. I think that's absolutely what is missing from the game.
All right. Nick Anderson, Matt Johnson, there's not a lot of seven-footers, and if everyone's going to get the seven-footers, they're all going to go to Duke and Kentucky. How are teams like Fresno State going to handle? If they don't have the big guys,
there's
in one
a
side.
Lot of 6'10s.
Come on. Yeah, what are you talking about? The human.
They might not be in your face right here locally, but they're all across the
human evolution country. Hasn't changed. The cycle is bigger, 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 bigger. One day there'll be 12-foot men walking around on this planet. And no, really, if you were 6'4"
right.
back in 1906, you were probably considered the largest man living. Yeah. Abraham Lincoln was probably considered a giant. Right now, Abraham Lincoln is almost a little tall, but average compared to what you see today. There are a lot of large men
walking
around.
When I was in Memphis, I was in this Mexican restaurant.
You went to a Mexican restaurant in Memphis, by the way?
And it was the best I've ever had. It was brisket meat, by the way.
So you're from Fresno, and you went to a Mexican restaurant?
Well, I had no choice. It was the only thing close. It was 26 degrees out, and it was the only thing next to the hotel. But there was a guy literally 8 feet tall, literally. And I asked him, do you play basketball? He goes, no, I don't even play basketball. So
you say 8 feet tall?
I asked him, are you 8 feet? He goes, no, I'm 7'9".
He was 6 foot seven.
No, he was almost 7'10".
Okay, 7'10". And I wonder how many times does he get called to someone. And you had to fall right into that trap.
I spent
time with Mark Eaton once and a recruiting visit to UCLA, the big, great, big, giant 7'4" center.
Huge.
And he sat and he was laughing with me about, dude, everywhere I go, of course, number one question is, how tall are you? Well, he gets tired of that. And do you play basketball?
Yeah.
No. If you're 7'11" or 8 foot, as you said, how many? They're not. Yeah, you're lucky to still be alive.
Well, he's only 16 years old, though.
Well, there you go. He probably already has osteoporosis and every other thing.
But there's
that can go
big
wrong
people
it.
Back in the Memphis area, football wise. They're all 6'6", 300-pound linemen. We don't get those kind in California.
You know what's funny is a lot of them don't ever show up either.
Yeah.
They play for a while, but you never see them again. And it's just that whole process of recruiting and being able to recruit people. But Matt's right. You look at point guards now. Point guards are the same size as the guy that Matt said was huge back in 1950. In the 1950s, my dad played basketball. He played for Stanford, and he was 6'4", and he was a post.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, 1955.
And then when Magic came along, Magic's what, 6'8"?
Yep.
As a point guard, and
we started that. Yeah. Evolve or die.
Yeah. Yeah.
Flip phone or not?
That's it. And then you have a flip phone, you better get a smartphone, right, Matt?
And what did we start complaining about? Fundamentals were going bye-bye in the 1990s because the slam dunk became very popular right around 1986. Where everyone wanted to take it to the hole and throw down. And then Air Jordan took it to the next level, and everything was going that way. And everyone that was pure basketball purist out there kept saying, oh, the fundamentals. No one knows how to shoot anymore. Their elbows are flying. Look, the technique is all gone. And then they finally started doing the math and started realizing 3 points is better than two. That is not that far of a long-range shot the way the current arc was set up. And next thing you know, everyone's shooting outside. Now they're moving it back in college. They're going to try to reintroduce the aircraft carrier, the PTP-er, the Patrick Ewing's of the world that are out there still. Unfortunately, they all think they're Kevin Durant, and they're taking the game outside. Sunnyside basketball, we made the call. They had a giant 6'9" guy.
He was taller than that, wasn't he?
6'9", 6'10", the big Sunnyside player.
The three brothers, Stroud.
Stroud. Yeah. He was at 6'9", but he wanted to play point guard. He wanted to keep everything outside. When did they get really effective? When he decided, I might want to get down in the post and play that game.
And they beat Clovis West.
Speaking of Clovis West, you know, we always talk about Memorial recruiting. Clovis West on fire right now. They're getting a couple of Memorial kids coming over. Memorial's lost 4 players, by the way. So Memorial can't say, hey,
I might.
Yeah, I would. But they're saying now, we're losing players. I thought everyone was supposed to be coming to Memorial.
There's been a lot of shakeup. You're going to see a lot of kids, you know, even Edison. I mean, Edison's got some people that I know. I'm attending this local AAU tournament's first tournament of the year, I think.
Where's it at?
Locally, Clovis West High School.
So all day long there's basketball going on?
Today they play. They'll play tonight till about 9, I think, or 8:30, something like that. Tomorrow all day and then Sunday. But you got a lot of the local teams that are playing because June is, you know, these kids are coming back from their AAU
team. All right, basketball fans, get out to Clovis West if you want to see some basketball.
Yeah, they've got everybody. The rosters are full. You'll see some differences. Memorial's got a little bit of change. Edison's got some change. Of course, Clovis West has got some change. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see what happens next year. But this thing is not over yet, trust me.
There's one constant you know now, right? My lower back's going to be sore this time of year, and change is coming with transfer. Of course,
transfers aren't
just relegated to basketball. Football, Fresno High lost pretty much their entire coaching staff. Have all left, including the head coach at Fresno High, this late in the year.
Okay, if you missed it.
That's unheard of.
Can I just attack Fresno High one more time? So Fresno High has an opening on campus, and they don't hire their football coach, and now he's the offensive coordinator at Edison. And I'll say it again, shame on you, Fresno High School. Football, Nick, I don't know if you've heard, but is a big sport on campus. Now, Fresno High, you know who's going to be?
Just a little.
You're going to see Edison be happy, Hoover, Roosevelt, and Bullard, because kids are going to be transferring left and right out of there if they don't do something in a hurry. And just like I said, it started when Matt Johnson was at Edison, and the dummy principal didn't take care of Matt, so everyone went to Central, and now after when Matt leaves, they go, maybe we should take care of the coach, and it's going to happen.
How about this idea? Let's introduce my name more into this topic.
No wonder people call in and second guess
the Pac meter and the rankings, and anytime my name is brought in, because you think you're rolling with that. You're not my agent. You're my best buddy. Now,
let's talk about that, though.
Let's talk. Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Not yet. Let's talk about the big move at Fresno High.
Okay.
So now, what are they going to do? I've been in jobs where I got hired late. This is beyond late. School has graduated. And you don't have a
head. They already had spring ball.
You don't have a head football coach in place.
Yeah, where are the
kids at? I checked, they were probably, arguably, the favorite in the NYL. and now their assistant coaches have all left. It's not easy to get your staff together when you've been around for a while and kids move and players and coaches leave. Now they have nothing that I know of on that campus because, as far as I know, the entire varsity staff has pretty much fallen apart.
So what do you do as a player? And you're a football player and you have no coach. Do you leave right away or you just wait for the guy to come up?
You have to be massaged by your administrators to kind of hold the course. But school is out, so they're out on their own. When's the workout start? What's the plan?
I think
someone's going to have to take it over to her.
I think it all depends on who the kid is and the expectations of what they're really looking for in football. I mean, and who their parents are. How about that?
Yeah.
How about the parents? Okay, but if you guys, let's just take you, for example, being the guy you have with the background you have. If you had a kid and he was going to a particular high school and all of a sudden you're getting ready and you think this kid's got an opportunity to play at the next level, he's pretty good. Well, all of a sudden there's no coach there and you're not sure when the workouts are or what's going on. What are you thinking?
I'm out of there.
I mean,
that's what I'm thinking.
You got one shot at a kid, right? And I get this as a parent. And I always say this, and I know people, you know, fire darts at me all the time, and that's fine. I got thick skin. I'm Italian. But you don't know what you're talking about unless you are a parent. And people accuse parents of being stupid.
You two are parents, too. I can't really say anything.
If you go through it with your own kid, you'll maybe have a better understanding of what it's like to go through that and why some of these parents act the way they do.
I'm not saying this, right?
Yeah. On some of these cases that we experience, but what I'm saying is that when somebody crosses that line into your family, whether it be for your wife, your kid, or whatever, you're going to kind of bow up a little bit. And that's just a natural thing for most people. I'm not saying everyone's like that, but a lot of people are like that.
That's right, and this is definitely a commotion that was probably not expected. It was sudden. It's not like a coach that did something on campus or had problems with the season and the year is done, the football season's over, and they move on and they part ways. This is the thing that was really sudden. A head football coach of a program in our valley is all of a sudden at the other school, already had an interview for a job, is working out at another school. It's not easy in normal circumstances to go find the right person to man the deal. They're going to probably have to go through some kind of a, can you manage it for a year? Can someone that's on campus that knows a little bit of something about our PE department, whatever, can you come in and just manage this for the year? We're going to start a search after the end of the year.
So you're saying they're going to ask a guy like Jason Pappy,
whether whoever,
coach to do
somebody
something.
On campus who's looked up to by the student body, the football body of kids, student-athletes on campus, is going to need to get some direction and fast.
And the first thing about the intern, the coach, it's not about wins and losses. It's keeping kids in school. They cannot afford to let just kids fly away and leave. Like Nick just said, you know, if there's going to be 8 or 10 kids at that school that are probably pretty good that maybe they could play at JC or wherever. And if they leave now.
You watch with the next wave of legal people getting involved, which they finally pierced the college slavery system of athletes where you are locked in, there's nothing you can do, I sign my letter, I have to commit to that, if not, I have to sit for a whole year while Coach A or B can take the $6 million deal, leave me hanging as a student athlete, and then go do their thing, and they don't get punished for nothing, but the player has to sit behind. They've changed that rule. There's a transfer portal in college athletics now. How long is it going to be before there's a high school portal? When something like this hits, as you said, mom and dad, what do you mean? Little Johnny, you said what? Our coach left.
We're leaving. He's gone. It's summertime.
We have no head football coach. Okay, we're putting you in the transfer portal. Yeah. Legally, can you move a student athlete in high school right now under that guise? Probably not. But they're getting closer to where that's probably going to be the future of where you see my coach took another job. I'm there because I love the school. I love the program. But my coach was not treated fairly, because they put a petition out, Nick. They put a petition out, apparently, that all these different athletes on campus signed, we want Joe. Someone took it off the Twitter account or the Instagram account. It was moved off social media, but it looked unanimous that the players did not like what was happening. What rights does a high school athlete have in moments like this? I think that's the question that's going to be going around as these type things become more common and common. The coaches, that's what we do. We leave. And the kid is left with whatever. And somehow you know there's an attorney out there who could easily pierce that guideline for whether it's CIF or state or national federation policy that my son is not going to sit idly by waiting for this administration to get their act together. We're moving. And don't get in my way because you'll hear from my attorney.
Yeah, I think it's going to take one of those parents that has a kid that happens to be one of those kids that's pretty good, and they're going to get involved with that. But yeah. Here's my opinion on that from what I'm hearing from you. And
yeah.
I feel like it's okay. I would have that transfer portal. I think that's okay when under certain circumstances, like they do in college. If your college coach leaves, it gives you an opportunity to look elsewhere. I don't know why they wouldn't have the same thing in high school. Certain circumstances, I just don't believe in, if a kid wants to transfer because there's something going on in a school, they shouldn't be affected by that. They should be able to move if they want to.
Well, you're not going to be firing college coaches if that's the case, because they can't afford to have 20 kids just leave and go down the road.
Well, I agree.
Well, no, it's risk assessment. Every business has that. Sure. You look back and your athletic department sits around and says, look, we've got an issue going on at USC. Clay Helton, they had to sit back and realize, if we keep him for another year, how far is our program going to slip? Are we going to be able to salvage this and put an end to the sucking chest wound we have right now? They had to make a risk assessment. They decided to have Coach Helton stay. And it's no different than what you do in a business meeting at Helena Agri Enterprises, where they got to sit and realize, are we going to keep the same management team? Are we going to make moves? Well, if we make that move, that guy's going to go over to our competitor, and he's got $600 million of accounts. They got to make that decision, what's best for them. And that's all the high school, or the college for that matter, more importantly. The college has to make that decision all the time. But they value the alumni, and they value butts and seats. And if the attendance is down, if no one's coming to the games, the team is losing, they don't care what the players think. They'll figure that out later. They've got to get the money, the cash flow going.
Matt, question. How hard is it to find high school coaches?
Very difficult.
Well, very difficult. That's what I'm saying. So I'm throwing that out there, right? Because you guys already know this. Yeah. You know this firsthand, of course. There's more issues. I think more coaches, and this brings up things that, you know, we always talk about, the three of us, is that parents are pushing a lot of these coaches away from coaching because they just don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, and also the requirements.
Yeah.
I mean, you being an educated guy as you are, you're an administrative kind of guy. Are we looking at maybe a change in the guard? Where I already know some schools don't have full-time coaches. When I say full-time coaches, people that are on staff coaching PE, teaching PE, or some other type of a position on campus. Are we starting to get to the point now where we're going to become like AAU coaches, in and out the way they want to come in and out? Is that going to be the future of coaching?
Well, I remember just 10, 15, 20 years ago, every Clovis Unified team had 20-plus coaches on staff. And the Fresno Unified teams didn't, and that was a big advantage. When you got your team on your coaching staff on school campus all day long, and I remember forever that you and Tim McDonald were on campus, and how much better was it when you were on campus knowing what's going on?
It's night and day. I mean, you don't sit at 3:15 and try to repair all the damage that was done during the day. You're there with the student-athlete. You're there to send the messaging, to send the ability to perform and stand up and be accountable. It's very difficult for an off-campus coach to do that.
Well, we're going to take a break. Our show today, Darian Miller is going to join us next. He's the outstanding catcher of the Clovis Cougars who got drafted by the Brewers, and maybe he'll have news for us. Did he sign? Did he not? And also, Matt Frazier is going to join us at about 5. John McGraw, we got professional swimming coming to town next weekend.
I know we don't talk about swimming much, Nick, but that's going to be a nice topic.
Yes, let's take a break. We are live at 10 Tavern. Come on down and hang out with the Pag Meter, Matt Johnson, Nick Anderson, the Big Cat here. And this is the hottest play going right now, 10 Tavern. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're on 940 East Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Blast & Brew, fashion furniture across from River Park, Helena Agri Enterprises, and 10 Tavern, with the Pag Meter and Big Cat Nick Anderson on 940 ESPN.
You are in the zone here on a Friday afternoon. It's the Pag Meter, Big Cat, Matt, Nick Anderson, and Matt Johnson, the three amigos right here at 10 Tavern.
Because
this is my new place.
You are live
in the zone, folks.
Well,
why don't you just do that, Nick, Mr. Nick Anderson? Why don't you? I've often listened to your radio, and I thought, why don't you just do the whole show in that voice? Well, Nick, I was wondering.
You want me to say you're live?
Yes. I want you to keep that voice, play it out, act like you're a serious broadcaster for the Cincinnati Reds.
I got to act too long. That's the problem. I don't have that much time.
I always get on Nick and I'm thinking, why do all baseball announcers have that voice?
Well, Nick does a good job with the
What did I do with my wallet? Did anybody happen to see that anywhere around here?
I think I grabbed something.
This is Matt in a nutshell. He'll lose his phone the average over and under two times a week.
There it is. I got you. We're good.
Yeah, okay. You found your phone?
You know the old line, you know, you go somewhere and it's like, hey, just do yourself a favor. Great resort. Love the place. Everything, you know. But, Nick, make sure, watch your wallet.
Is that what you're going with?
That was the line I was trying to go with.
Tin Tavern is happening, and now they're soon, they're going to be breaking right through that wall. They're going to have a little reception room, which this place is going to be really giddy up. And so Matt and Amy taking care of us today, and I would really recommend the Rigatoni here. Pagmeter, I think it needs to be on the menu, the Rigatoni Pagmeter special.
Oh, it's definitely, I had it last time you were here, you had it, I'm going to have it this time. And when that room opens up out there through that wall, that's the next step because there's so many businesses, so many sports teams, so many groups, organizations that are always looking for space to meet, have their get-together, great food, great service, great drinks, Tin Tavern. Top of the food chain. Love this place.
We're going to catch up with Darian Miller in a few minutes so that JoJo can get him on the line. The draft, is. We're going to talk about that as well. Maybe a record setting in the Valley. And speaking of the draft, we've got, and I'm going to let you in on a little secret because the Pagmeter All-Star team is coming out. There's a chance that Darian Miller could be the MVP, but you have to stay tuned for that. Darian Miller, the Clovis Cougar. Catcher, the outstanding left-handed hitter. Darian, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Congratulations, Darian. Darian, you knew you were going to get drafted somewhere. And I always wonder about this because you have so many maybe scouts that fall in love with you. Did you think you might be a Brewer?
With my scout a little bit, I had an idea that I might be a Brewer, but, you know, it's actually just a dream come true. I used to be a Cubs fan, but now I'm a Brewers fan, so...
Darian, this is Coach Johnson. Congratulations. We're obviously all proud of you here in the Valley. When that day is coming, which we just had it, where were you? Have you already signed an agent? And give us the steps of how leading up to that beautiful moment. And what are you doing now? What are the steps needed to get your stuff in order to get ready to move on and go?
So on draft day, I was watching the draft on my computer with just my family, hanging out, having a great time. And I went into the kitchen to grab some food, and I got a call from my agent. His name's Ethan Chapman with Full Circle Sports Management. And he asked me if I was watching the draft, and I said I was, and he told me to go pay attention to the screen. So then I walked into my living room and looked at the computer screen. There I saw my name pop up, Darian Miller, Milwaukee Brewers.
Wow, that's a great moment.
That's got to be pretty fun.
Yeah, now, who the representative from the organization calls you, or what's the dialogue right at that moment?
Well, the Brewers didn't actually call me. They called my agent, and then my agent called me to let me know. And then I got a call later from the Brewers. So
we're talking with Darian Miller, who Clovis Cougar, Central Section champ. Let's go back to baseball before we talk about the future. You're playing with a legendary coach, James Patrick. Nine Valley section champions. At the beginning of the year, you guys were kind of getting it going, not playing great Cougars baseball until, I would say, the Easter Classic, and then you started getting it rolling. Tell us about the run with the Cougars, because you are the champions. You beat Frontier 14-3, but tell us about the run.
The run is great. We started off the season a little bit shaky. A lot of new players getting in there who haven't played before. So we started off just okay. And then we started hanging out more as a team and getting really close, hanging out almost every single day after practice. And then we just started to play some great Cougar ball that we knew we were capable of playing at the start of the season. And it was just amazing to finally end up that season with a win for Coach Patrick.
So that field's going to be officially changed over, right, guys?
That's what the Pagmeter says. He's got it all figured
out. James Patrick Stadium, right next to Lloyd Merriman Field.
I love it.
So what I love about James, what he did, and I think Darian Miller is probably the most aggressive left-handed hitter we have here in the section. You throw him a fastball, he's going after it. A lot of kids like to take. Darian, you got to be a leadoff hitter. Tell me about, you might be the only catcher in the United States that's a leadoff hitter.
So about six games into the season, I think Coach Patrick decided to make the switch just to get me more at-bats throughout the game because I would sometimes come up in the seventh inning and I would be two batters away from hitting, so I wouldn't get a hit in that last inning. So he decided to bump me up in a leadoff spot, and I get a lot of walks, so I'm always on, and I finally figured out how to steal some bases and score a lot of runs, so that definitely helped the team.
Darian Miller, we're talking with the Clovis Cougar catcher. Now, you've expected to go to New Mexico. Now, is that all? So, when you mentioned you have an agent, does that mean you're gonna be negotiating on the sign? You've officially signed and you're ready to roll?
Yes, I'm currently negotiating right now, and we'll be signing or making my decision sometime in the next couple of weeks. And then
That's exciting, Darian.
Yeah, well, the negotiation now. They always say in baseball, you know, it's all kind of slotted in there. Is there a lot of minor details that you and your agent are trying to get figured out before you go ahead and sign this thing? Or is it just strictly a financial number, if you don't mind me asking?
It's just strictly a financial number. We have a lot of it worked out, so the odds are that I will be heading down to Arizona in the next couple weeks and playing for the Brewers rookie ball team.
That's fantastic, wow, that is awesome. Darian. That's fantastic. Now,
biggest highlight, right? The biggest highlight of your life right now.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Well, Darian, have you had a moment? I know these things go through. When I was a youngster, I went through something like this. And is there a moment you've had yet where you sat in your room or at home and you just started reflecting back to all those balls that you've hit with your family and your dad and your mom and your little league or Babe Ruth and just all your youth experience that's led you to this moment? Have you really got a chance to sit back and reflect on all that?
Yes, I have. At first, the feeling didn't really hit me. I was just more kind of in shock. But then later that night when I laid down to go to bed, I just kind of sat there thinking about,
yes,
like you said, all that hard work I've put in and everyone who's helped me,
yeah,
and just this crazy journey I've been on.
Talking about Darian Miller, he's going to be signing with the Milwaukee Brewers. He's working for the Milwaukee Brewers organization. That's fantastic. Who's your guy you've been kind of leaning on? Is there a guy somewhere who's been there, done that?
Gatewood a little bit. I've spoke with him before, and then also Dylan Lee with the Marlins. He was my coach actually for my fall ball team, and I think he's in Double-A right now for the Marlins, so he's kind of giving me some great advice on just things that I need to do and need to go through in order to become a major leaguer. So
Darian, you really don't. You're going to start at Arizona, and then they'll tell you where to go from there. Where's the couple teams Milwaukee has? The rookie ball, maybe even Single-A. Where are they thinking you might go?
I'm not completely sure on that. I think I will be staying for the rookie ball season in Arizona.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And Darian, I'm curious. When I first was introduced to you live, you're actually on the field, so you couldn't, you know, say hello or anything. But I'm watching you from behind the backstop, sitting next to the pag meter, and he was pointing out that this is arguably the best catcher we have in our valley. Watch his throw to second. Your arm strength is spectacular. Your release is right there on the money, timing-wise. Are you always going to be a catcher? This is looking way into the future, but are you just catcher only, or are they going to move you to another position?
Well, thank you for that compliment, and I'm not completely sure. I would do anything for the organization, so I will have to see. It's up to them.
Yes.
I would love to be a catcher for the rest of my life. I need to put on some more weight. But ultimately, my second position is looking more like a second baseman. So
yeah.
Who knows in the future?
Who knows?
Well, the bat alone. Darian Miller's left-handed bat is the one that Milwaukee wants. They'll put him at catcher, second base, even outfield if they have to, because they want that bat. Because, Darian, your bat, I haven't seen a left-handed. I mean, there's guys around here, but I go to a lot of baseball games and I see a lot of kids who aren't aggressive, but there's a lot of pitchers who do not want anything to do with Darian Miller when he steps in that box. And that's what I love. He's already intimidated the pitcher. So do you think playing in the playing in the track, you got a lot of tough pitchers, has that helped you as well?
Yes, the track has been a great help, just facing good competition day in and day out. And there was a lot of good lefties these last couple of years also. Going into my freshman year, I didn't hit lefty pitching very well, but over time facing great lefty pitchers over and over and over again, I've gotten more used to it, and that's just been a great help. And then also just facing constant velo every single day has helped me get to where I need to be.
That was – Darren, you just got a classic pag meter to the obvious question. You can't see us. I'm over here laughing, looking at him, thinking, yeah, of course it helps playing in the track.
No,
that's like asking Darian Miller. I would ask Darian Miller this. Here's a pag meter question for you. So winning the Valley Championship and playing for a great program like Clovis, how much do you think that helped prepare you for this step in your life?
The reason why I asked that question, Darian, there's a plenty of left-handed pitching that he has to get ready for. Because if he can't hit left-handed pitching, that's going to be trouble. Okay, thank you.
I got
you. Well, Darian, we're so proud of you. Fantastic. Congratulations on a tremendous career. And now it's only the beginning. And we're going to keep an eye on you, and we want you back soon.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on. This is a great opportunity and a great pleasure to talk to you guys.
Right on, Darian.
Don't forget about us.
Yeah, he'll be definitely back. Don't forget us.
We're right down the road from him. A classic left-handed swing who's got power, he's got speed, and I think Milwaukee got a good kid. And
Well, you were right on cue the last time I was out watching Clovis play in the regular season, and I snuggled in next to you and in your typical spot right behind the home plate there, and you said, watch this guy, watch this catcher here. And he snapped one off down to second base, and I thought, oh. Because he is a little –
he can run.
Ultimately, he can move. He's athletic, and he's not built like your typical what you would consider this giant backstop. But he's got good athleticism behind the plate.
Sounds like he can roam the outfield pretty well too.
He can roam. He's got a good arm. I don't know, second base. I don't know if I'm putting. I might put him in right field because he can run a little bit with a gun.
Get to the ball, yeah.
Yeah, but we got another one coming in round five. Matt Frazier. I heard of Terrence Frazier.
Oh,
that's
sure.
His son. Clovis North and Arizona.
Bear down. He got
drafted as well.
Matt
but how about this year, guys?
Down real well.
Before we
bear
take
down.
A break, the Fresno State, they only lost a tough one to Stanford. I was impressed with it. We had a lot of Red Wave fans traveling to Stanford. They didn't make it to Biden Field all year, but they made it to Stanford. I like it. What were your thoughts when you saw that crowd in there?
Well, can the crowd continue? That's all. I always say that. Fresno's always been that place where they always want to show up when things are kind of in the spotlight. You guys agree?
Yeah.
Whenever there's something big going on, they're playing USC or they're playing up at Stanford in the regionals. Yeah, those people show up for that. Even the TV commentators are saying, look at this, Red Wave follows these guys. I want to say, hey, that is what we want every game. Why can't we get that
Matt,
every
game? Matt, say your deal again. Well, you got to be in the Pac-12.
Well, we do. Yeah. Definitely. It's the teams you're playing. It's the schedule. Yeah. Who wants to go out and watch, Slippery Canvas Tech playing our present day Bulldogs?
But they're not, though, Matt.
I know. I understand. They have a pretty good schedule. My take on it is this, in a realistic view. I've said this 100 times. California already is in trouble with fan and spectator support. Not in our high school world. High school is still top of the food chain, getting it done. But in the world of athletics, Fresno State is no different than these other programs that follow the leader, follow the bandwagon. Oh, we're doing it now. Let's start to join in on the party. But we do it better than anyone else. My point is this. If you go down to these other campuses all over the state of California in college, same deal, except our fan base is bigger than those schools, even if we're winning. It's just when we win, we see even more Bulldog fans. Obviously, we'd like to see more at the regular season come out. But in the big picture, our fan base is a group that follows the leader, follows the bandwagon if they're winning. But ultimately, we're better than everyone else.
I talked to Christian Funk last week, former Clovis West, Fresno City.
Yeah.
And he's playing now for Oklahoma State, first baseman.
They're playing today, aren't they?
I think they are. And we got basketball on right now and some golf, but I'll find out. But I asked him, I go, you've seen the crowds here. How are they in Oklahoma State? And he goes, Nick, on a worst-case scenario, we're playing in front of 8,000 people. On a normal night, 15,000 plus. And you mentioned the Red State, Blue State, and there you go.
Well, Red State, Blue State, and you're in Stillwater, Oklahoma. We might want to think that we're in a small town. This is a small town, big city mentality, whatever. We live in a giant metropolis. Go to Stillwater. Hello, Buckaroos. What else are we going to do tonight? Let's go check out the Cowboys. That's all they do. This place, you sent me pictures back when you were out there in Arkansas, wherever you were.
Lafayette, Louisiana.
What else are you going to do in Lafayette, Louisiana?
Let me throw this out.
We're in California. There's a lot of things to do, and there's a lot of liberals right-wing and moderates.
No.
And they're not all into this athletic thing that we're all into. Let's be honest. too many choices, too many different political viewpoints. But you grow up in Lafayette, Louisiana. Guess what? Raging Cajuns are it. We're going to go watch. And that's what they do.
So let me ask you, Nick, you brought this up the other day, and I think you probably spot on, or somebody brought it up to you, that...
No, I was probably spot on.
Probably so. Probably so. Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. So, kids, parents, families, activities on weekends... I know
weeknights.
I know I struggle. I challenge. I'm challenged to be around Fresno. You know, evenings, it's either a practice, and some people have to take their kids to that practice because there's more and more of these year-round sports that are going on, and that usually is taking a kid from Fresno and going to L.A. or going to the Bay Area. So maybe the intent is to want to go to the Fresno State game, but maybe they're being pulled from all sorts of different directions. Clearly. Is that also an opportunity? Maybe that thing catches back up again once this next generation's kids get beyond the house. I don't
clearly.
Know.
Oh. No, that's it. That is a California thing. There's a few other states in the union that operate
that way.
Oh, my gosh.
Look at this stuff.
But
here.
In the state of California, it's always been that way. It doesn't matter if you're the UCLA Bruins. You're not going to go attend every basketball contest, good or bad. It's just the way it is in our state.
I had a Hall of Fame baseball player, former coach, texts me and he says, Pagmeter, it's pretty simple. It's a no-brainer. We have young families. We have to go take care of our young families on weekends and weekdays. You're not going to get us to a Bulldog game. But the other problem is there's no students. And I'm going to try to get – we had a little death in the family. My wife's sister passed away today, Chrissy. But, you know, I'm going to – Alexa was going to be here today. I want to get Alexa here next week. And talk about marketing. She's got some great ideas how to get students involved. And she said, I talked to her today. She goes, I don't even know when the games are. And we can go, but we got to get some activities going with the students. If the students don't go to games, there's no chance that adults in Red Waves, we're not going to get a lot of
people. If you're not on a little island in Stillwater, Oklahoma, representing your Cowboys from your dorm room, there's no chance. What are you talking about? It's a commuter campus. There's no chance to ever create a student body at Fresno State that matches or rivals these colleges around America where the college and the campus, the dorms, the apartments around a UC Davis type setup where it's really
Cal
just
Poly.
Community where they're all living there. How are you ever going to replicate that when everyone lives at home and drives their car in the morning to their college?
So what's the answer then? We got to go high school kids?
The answer is what they're already starting to do. They're already started to market through billboards and signage the great state of affairs that go on in Fresno State Athletics. Continue to push and keep hiring people like Jeff Tedford, the new basketball coach. Keep Batesol happy. Put some more facilities repairs in there. Whatever you do, you have to win. When you're in a commuter campus, the only thing people respond to is winning. How many other sports have we watched, guys, where – I know they haven't been to the playoffs in 13 years, but it's still a sellout. Look at the community. That they live and die by their teams. Here, we respond to one thing.
High school.
Competitive nature. Who we are playing Oregon this week? Well, Nick Anderson, Matt Johnson, Nick Peck. We were at that game. Competitive nature. Who we playing? And how you doing? If you're winning, they will come. I hate to say it that way, but we don't live in an environment where
but.
like Lafayette, Louisiana, where win, lose, or draw, that's the party. That's where we're going.
But they are winning.
They're winning.
Fresno State's winning. So that excuse is gone now, right? You got football who's winning, basketball who's winning, and you've got baseball that's winning.
I agree, Nick, but what the Pagmeter is referring to is he's astonished the place isn't standing room only. Comparatively speaking to other college campuses in California that play sports, I'm going to take a good estimate that our crowds are bigger than most, if not all, comparatively speaking to the size of the arena and how many people come out to support.
All I know is if Clovis North is playing Buchanan in a baseball game, there's going to be 3,500 people out there. If Fresno State is playing New Mexico, there's going to be 150 people out there.
You have a vested interest. You're a high school student on campus of that nice little collective captive feeding audience. You have mom and dad, aunts, uncles, grandpa. Everyone has
and
some skin girlfriend. In the game.
Yeah.
Everyone has a skin. I'm going to go watch. How many Clovis West games did I go watch in basketball based on my good friend Nick Anderson? A lot. I wasn't there to report on the game. I was there to watch his kid go to work. You have that affiliation. In college sports in this town, you don't quite have the same affiliation to the student athlete. You know, they're not as comfortable. This baseball team needs to see all those Buchanan Bears, the local guys, kind of create a little excitement.
That's it right there. You know, when I was over on the coast this week talking to a few folks over there, and they were actually talking about Fresno State at dinner one night, and they were talking about, you know, that exact, you know, effect, Matt, you know, and having local kids on that team. So I agree with you, and I think that goes back to what Papagni's always said, you know, recruit local. That's going to help you. It's not going to fix everything, but it give you that opportunity.
Totally. Let's take a break so we can eat some of this great pasta here at 10 Tavern. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back. Matt Frazier is going to join us after 5 on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
Yes, sir.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Dave Mager. 17 three-pointers for Toronto in Game 3. The Raptors take a 2-1 NBA Finals lead into Game 4 at Golden State. Play-by-play on ABC, many ESPN Radio affiliates, and the app. Tip-off just after 9 Eastern. NBA free agency percolating. Kyrie Irving taking a long look at Brooklyn, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski.
Brooklyn will hope that Kyrie Irving would be the Pied Piper to go recruit another star free agent, namely Kevin Durant, to join him in Brooklyn. But Kyrie Irving is that target, and there is no question, I'm told, that Kyrie Irving has a serious interest in the Brooklyn Nets in free agency.
Wojnarowski heard on ESPN's Get Up. The Stanley Cup Finals resume Sunday night in St. Louis. Game 6, the Blues can win their first Stanley Cup. They'll be without Ivan Barbashev, though, suspended one game for a hit to the head. Baseball in the fourth. The Yankees leading Cleveland 2-0. D.D. Gregorius making his season debut. He singled in his first at-bat. Aaron Hicks a solo shot, his fourth. Mitch Garber, a two-run job for the first-place Twins. They lead Detroit 2-1 in the third. Rockies leading Jacob deGrom and the Mets 1-0 in the third. This afternoon, Cubs beat the Cardinals 3-1. Cole Hamels, 8 innings of 3-hit shutout ball. The rematch is tomorrow and Sunday on ESPN Radio. French Open Women's Championship, Saturday morning, U.S. time. Ash Barty of Australia against 19-year-old Markéta Vondrousová of the Czech Republic. NFL's Houston Texans fire GM Brian Gain.
The St. Louis Cardinals and the Chicago Cubs, live from Wrigley Field this weekend. Coverage begins tomorrow and Sunday at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by 10 Tavern. Fashion furniture across from River Park. Helena Agra Enterprises, LLC. And by Blast and Brew.
Hung on, at the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back, and it is. Get out the rye bread and the mustard this time, Grandma. It is a grand salami.
It's Friday, and you're in the zone from 10 Tavern. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man!
You
are in the zone.
Ooh, I don't know about that. We got to work on that one.
Are in the zone, man!
There you go.
Are out. We are in the zone. Man. Here at 10 Tavern on the corner of Willow and Nice. And this is my best spot because now this is the fourth time I've had the pasta, the Pag Meter pasta this week.
What do you like about that pasta?
I like the sauce. It's like old school sauce. John's in the house. We'll be talking swimming in a little while,
yes,
as well. But 10 Tavern, I want to thank Agra Enterprises, LLC. And if you're a tree right now, how happy are you when you see that Helena's truck show up?
You're happy. Sun's out a little bit. It's starting to feel a little better. You know, it's kind of like you grow up in Fresno, you're here long enough. People say, well, I hate the heat. Well, I don't know about you two, but I like the heat.
Sure you do.
When the heat comes out, skin starts to breathe a little bit. And that tree, similar to you, Nick, it starts to stretch a little bit.
Yes.
and it starts to look for some nutritional stuff. You're eating rigatoni right now?
Heck yeah, I am.
Phosphorus, potassium, and nitrogen are huge players right now for permanent crops.
So call Helena the Professionals, 559-261-9030, 261-9030. Who's going to answer the phone?
Rochelle will answer that phone, and she'll ask you a few questions, and she'll find a location that best suits where you farm.
You'll get to one of those, hello, good afternoon. Well, how the Agro Enterprises LLC.
Exactly, if that's that way, Matt, but it's something similar.
Why does it have to be that way? you're Archie Bunker, man.
I said hello.
Archie.
Well, he's a male.
That was bringing it. Wow.
Can I say it? No, you're not.
Now, can we bring up a guy who's red hot right now? Former Clovis North Bronco, leadoff hitter, speedster, outfielder, Arizona Wildcat. Just got drafted in the third round by the Pittsburgh Pirates. Matthew Frazier. Matt, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
We're excited to talk to a future major league player. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. Matt, congratulations. I got to watch you in high school, and we all knew this kid has a swing with the speed, with the power. He's going places, and you had such a great career with Arizona. Let's talk about getting drafted. When you're going through this, was there a scout that fell in love with Matt? Or were you like, the Pirates, where did they come from? Or how did that all work? Explain, help everybody out.
So during my career at Arizona, you see all the scouts, they're all watching every game, evaluating every game. And then I think I sat down with all 30 teams in the fall or right before season. And we just got to know each other, chat up a little bit, and get to know about each other, learn about each other. And then the season come along, you see more teams have more interest in you than others, and they keep on tabs with you. And right before the draft, they contacted me and like asked to see make sure. It was like five teams that really had really high interest on me, and so the Pirates were being one of them. So it didn't come to surprise that they were the ones to pick me up.
Oh, that's fantastic! We're talking with Matthew Frazier, the son of Terrence Frazier. How much did Pops help you on this?
He's helped me my whole life, basically get to where I am today. But regarding the draft, like he told me to go into the season, just play your heart out, just give it your all, and like don't even worry about that. You can't really control it. So main thing in baseball, you got to control the controllable. So I kept my focus and I stick to my routine this year, and everything worked out just fine.
So, Matt, how's it going, negotiations, and is it all over with, or have you sat down with the Pirates yet?
No, my agent's doing negotiations right now, but I know that I'm flying out to PNC Park on Monday to go sign my contract and do a physical and everything, and then get situated from there and then get sent out to whatever team I'm going to be playing for this summer.
Well, Matt, you talked about, and I love that term, controllables. And your controllables mm-hmm. in the world of baseball, as you left Clovis North High School on your way to big-time college ball at the University of Arizona, what types of controllables have you got better on, and what was the weakness in your game that you knew you had to improve and you think you're making good strides there?
So just being able to know that you got to stick with your process, because in baseball you're going to have the ups and downs, and you're always going to be failing in it. You could be hard on yourself, but you can't control the outcome. You can control how much work you put in, the type of attitude you give in every day, and that's the only thing you can control. And so, I went into this year. I was like, okay, I gotta change my hitting. Like, it's all right, but it definitely needs to improve. And I made some adjustments with my swing. Put in the work in the off season, and then came back, put in the work with the coaches, and. Readjusted my swing, and the swing just took off, and I had a real lot of success this year.
Hey, Matt, Nick Anderson, a question for you. You know, coming out of Clovis North, and Matt mentioned big-time baseball at the University of Arizona. Your experience at Arizona, I'm assuming. I saw a couple videos of you having some good times over there, and it sounds like you got mm-hmm. a pretty good group of teammates there. Tell us a little bit about your experience at the University of Arizona.
It was probably definitely the best 3 years of my life so far. But I mean, just the atmosphere around being all the guys, because you're being brought in with a bunch of guys that are the best players out of their high school too. So being around that atmosphere is just helping you get better. And then the whole school part, like they made the transition easier for you, and just being around our coaching staff. I think our coaching staff is the best coaching staff in the nation, in the world. They are so player oriented, caring about your development, and as you can see, that's two of the other guys that I came in with freshman year ended up going second round. So I believe in the player development they have at the school, and everything they teach there has helped me become the player I am today.
That's great. That's good.
We're talking with Matt Frazier, the future Pittsburgh Pirate. He'll be, the next steps. So, Matt, in Arizona, tell us about the crowds in Arizona playing in front, and what was the biggest crowd you played in front?
The crowds, we had the biggest attendance on the West Coast. We'd average in, about 4,000 fans a game, and I believe the biggest crowd I played against was when we played against ASU, our rival school. And I think it was 8,000 people in the stands. The atmosphere was crazy. It was nuts.
So when you play with a crowd like that, does that fire you up? You like that many people? Some guys don't. Some guys do.
No, yeah, I definitely like it. It really gets your juices flowing. And I don't know, I feel like I perform a little bit better when that's going on. So I'm all for a lot of fans. And, it just makes the game feel a lot more exciting and stuff like that.
Well, that's fantastic. So, Matt, so you mentioned you when you sign, you don't know where they're going to send you. Will you start in Arizona or Florida? How are you going to handle that?
So they're going to send me to short season, where they think that's where they usually send all of their drafted guys, and it's in West Virginia, so that's where I plan on starting. That's where they usually send all the draft guys, so that's probably my first step, and then from there, I'm not sure where I'm going to go from there, but for this year, I'm going to get sent to a short season in West Virginia.
Matt, do you have the autograph down now? Are you ready for all that? You got to practice that now. You're going to be getting it every day.
No, yeah, we definitely I've signed a couple stuff at Arizona, so I got everything all down. I'm ready for it.
I love it.
Well, Matt Frazier, one last question from Coach Johnson. You always could run very fast. I'm expecting that during this whole process, that's one of the things that popped off the screen to everybody was your ability to move, your athleticism. But as you venture into, let's say, Virginia, think of what a blessing it is to come from the family you come from, where you're going to never have yourself being left out there in the dark wondering what's next. You've got your father. You have your great family to give you support. And I think, honestly, Matt Frazier, I think that's what separates you from most of the prospects, is that mental approach that you've been weaned on since a young child. So keep it up, Matt. We're very proud of you in the Valley, and we're looking for big things. No matter what, we know we've got a great, great leader and a young man with high character coming out of our Valley. Credit to you and the family. Congratulations, Matt.
I want to thank you guys for having me on, but, yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yes, all right, sir.
Thanks,
yes,
Matt.
Sir.
Good luck to you.
Yeah, best of luck.
See you guys.
Matthew Frazier, future Pittsburgh Pirate. What a perfect organization, a young group.
Yeah.
And he can move up quickly if he swings the bat and does his thing.
Well, yeah, and what I didn't probably phrase that the proper way, but when you have a father like Terrence Frazier who's been through all of this, and you mentioned it earlier, when you have someone that you could say, how am I going to pay for rent? How is this all going to work? Who's my bank going to be? What do I deal with money-wise? When you have a father that went through that process, what a bonus. Because a lot of those young kids get stuck out there, and they're on their own, and they got to figure it out on their own. And that sends a lot of kids, I'm sure, into problems. But with this father, Terrence, the background he has with all the great coaches he had as a youth all the way up to where he's at now, I think he's about as grounded as any athlete I've ever come across getting ready to take that next step. He understands what's in front of him and what he has to do to be the best he can be.
And he's been on the road with Arizona, so he knows how to live
away
from home. Where Darian Miller, as a high school kid, he's got to get used to being on the road now.
Yes,
he does.
He's
not living mom's cooking for him. Let's take a break. Matt, did you guys know we have professional swimming coming up next weekend?
I heard.
The Valley? Professional.
I heard that, but I'll tell you what, I don't think a lot of people have. I've heard the advertisements a little bit, but boy, I'll tell you what, that's going to be a special deal. And guess what? We're having some pretty special people coming to Fresno. And if you want to get out and watch some swimming, it's kind of like track. I look at swimming like track. I love going to track meets. those of you that haven't experienced the track meet and the relays and all the things that go on with those events, it's one of the best spectator sports there is. And I think I was able to watch some swimming this year. My good friend's son swam, and I got to spend some time out there. And, boy, I'll tell you what, I was never bored. I was never bored. It was fun.
Well, we got John, the president of the Clovis Swim Club, coming up next. So let's take a break. We'll come back and talk a little swimming because I don't know. I can do two laps. I need a nap.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Blast & Brew. Fashion furniture across from River Park, Helena Agra Enterprises, and 10 Tavern. With the Pag Meter and Big Cat Nick Anderson on 940 ESPN.
You
are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon here at 10 Tavern, the place is happening right now. We're having the Pag Meter special. The pasta, the rigatoni with this sauce, Nick, is out of this world.
Giddy up, by the way, Matt. Question. Did you just name that yourself?
It's the Pag Meter special. Pag Meter pasta.
So if you come to 10 Tavern, you're going to ask for the Pag Meter special. That's what you'll...
Well, you got to tell the owner, Amy, because she's the only one who knows it. It's the Pag Meter
special. Reminder, because I'm sure somebody's going to show up here and they're going to ask for that. And they're going to say, who?
That's no question about it. Well, let's bring up a little swimming right here, Nick. John Magoo is in the house. Welcome.
Thank you.
You know, you got something special going. You're the coach for the Clovis Swim Club, but you got a bunch of the best swimmers in the world are coming in this week. How'd you pull this off?
Well, that's kind of a long story, but we just put in a request for proposal last year after Santa Clara backed out. This meet's traditionally been at Santa Clara.
Why would they back out?
They've had some financial difficulty there, and a head coach that was accused of $600,000 of embezzlement.
Wow.
Oh, that's not good.
Wow, I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah, so we seized upon the opportunity, I guess.
Well, here's the way I look at it. And we've been spending a little bit of time with swimming, diving the last few weeks, right? There's been that wonderful state meet that's been here. I attended the track event at Clovis West this year. I know that rotates from school to school as far as the track goes, correct? And then the state meet, I'm not sure if you guys were over there, but I got to watch that, and I went and saw some of these wonderful athletes competing. And during that time, I found out this was going to happen here locally with some pretty – we got some stardom coming to town here, guys. But first of all, before we get into the names and things that are affiliated with this meet, Clovis Swim Club, that's a Clovis Unified – would you call it a company, or would you call it a...
It's a Clovis Unified School District program.
Program. See, there you go. I mean, I don't know why.
Yeah, so this is not like a typical AAU or a 7-on-7 football group. This is organized and helped through to the school district. And therefore, you have probably a lot of cohesive energy going in the right place as opposed to some of these groups. You're talking Santa Clara Swim Club. Right, I'm assuming Santa Clara, just like the Natadors or whatever, Mission Viejo,
yes,
those type clubs. Santa Clara, by the way, that turned out some great groups of talented swimmers. This meet, as Nick just said, now tell us about, what is this? Is this an exhibition match, or what is the organization that's all coming here?
It is the Cheer Pro Swim Series.
Okay.
It's a really kind of a new concept in the last couple of years. And that we started really providing opportunities for postgraduate swimmers to make a living in this sport. So first place wins $3,000, second place wins $2,000, third place wins $1,000. So it's given a lot of those athletes an opportunity to continue to train without having to work a full-time job.
Beautiful. And is this a privateering type effort, or they come in representing teams, a conglomeration of teams, or this is individuals? The Katie Ledecky comes on her own, or is this a team deal?
Well, they're representing their clubs.
Okay.
As opposed to USA Swimming, which there are 17 national team members in the meet. There's five current or five former Olympians, and there's a lot of future stars in there that will be future Olympians.
And the governing body, is this like a new franchise that opened up that there'd be a swimming professional?
Well, the governing body is USA Swimming.
It's a
USA Swimming event.
Okay.
But that is interesting. There are some new things on the horizon. There was a FINA Championship Series, which is the international body. They just had a meet in Indianapolis. And there's a new group called the International Swim League, which is kind of doing the same thing. So creating a lot of opportunities for our upper-end athletes. And even athletes that are amateurs will be able to keep prize money as long as it does not exceed their actual training expenses and travel expenses.
So somebody determines that.
Well, we have to keep excellent records. So we have a couple of athletes in that situation, Claire Tuggle being one of them. And she has to keep, we have to keep really good records of what her travel expenses are, so as she receives outside sources of funding that cannot.
Well, here's my problem with all that. I thought the idea of amateur athletics was done now in our country, that you were okay with using your likeness to go out and raise money to prepare yourself for an amateur event, i.e. the Olympics.
That's true.
Yeah.
But it's not true as far as collegiate swimming goes.
Okay.
So, you know, we have 11 athletes in this meet, but there's three that are swimming at major colleges next year. Okay. If any of them were taking outside sources of revenue that exceeded actual expenses, they would jeopardize their NCAA eligibility.
Interesting. Okay.
Here's one question I have. You mentioned Claire. We had Claire on the show, Nick, what, a couple weeks ago, I want to say? So how many local kids are actually competing in this event?
There are 11 from our club, and I think there's about four from other clubs.
It's pretty impressive. I'd say you go back to say, hey, why would it be here? I feel like our aquatics program in this area, we have a lot of great swimmers that come out of here that we kick out and send off, and it's going to be fun. I plan on attending.
When's the event?
I'm going to wiggle my way in there. So go ahead and tell
us
a little bit about
the details.
Yeah, give
us the details. When's the event? How do you get in? What's the?
The event is the 12th through the 15th.
12th through the 15th.
There's only a distance event on Wednesday night, but finals is the place to be on Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. Finals will start at 6 o'clock.
Right.
And you can find a link on our website at CloviswimClub.org for the tickets.
There you go.
Did you get all that, Mr. Pagmeter?
So, yes, Pags, you're going to tweet that out. I'm certain that you will.
Give us some of the names that we might recognize that are coming out.
Well, Leah Smith is probably the second-best distance swimmer in the world right now.
Yeah,
she'll be here.
Yeah.
Behind Katie Ledecky. Katie is not entered in the meet.
She's not entered in the meet?
No, not entered in the meet.
Will she be here?
No.
Okay.
All right. We promoted it already.
We thought she might. Somebody told us she might be here.
Yeah, we'll be getting a call from the law.
And the way the entries work, if you're on an exempt list, they can still get in up until probably Monday.
Yeah.
But I don't think she's planning to be here. Townley Haas is supposed to be here.
Yep.
Kelsey Dahlia.
Yeah.
Is
Terry McKeever coming? She was my classmate at USC back in the day, and she usually travels well around California to explore these type events.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure if I remember if I saw the cowgirls.
Yeah,
there,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, Michael. Yeah, Nick Pagmeter wants to know if Michael Phelps.
He's retired.
If he thought Mark Spitz would be competing.
I think.
Yeah, he goes way back.
You got to kind of look through that
Matt Biondi
windshield and that rearview mirror is maybe getting a little foggy.
You're the same age as I am. Yeah. All those guys.
They're all retired. Okay, so they're not. Johnny Weissmuller, I heard he was coming up. He was going to make a comeback, God's sakes. Yeah, anyway. So, Coach John, give us your background. Tell us about your swimming life and where it started and how did it lead you to these moments of coaching and running a club or the Clovis Swim Club.
You know, I loved it as an age group swimmer. I swam in high school. My parents moved around a little bit. High school, I swam in Fredonia, New York, and Madisonville, Kentucky. And ended
New
up,
York, Kentucky, a little different.
Yeah. And I ended up, as the circle keeps going, I ended up swimming at the University of Louisiana, Monroe. It was then called Northeast Louisiana University.
Okay.
And they cut swimming, so I don't send them any money.
Right.
Anyway, so graduate school was Auburn University, a little higher profile swimming name. And I really enjoyed that experience. I stayed there for 5 years, met my wife there, and been coaching ever since. I coached everything there, coached masters, coached club, worked with the college team, and worked my way somehow to California.
Here you are.
Facilities. That was the draw.
That's crazy, the facilities. Hmm? I mean, you talk to people that come over here, and they whether it be, I don't care if it's football fields or basketball gyms, the swimming is top-notch. Everybody says that. I meet people at the swim meet we were at when I went to the state meet and ran into some Well, from on the coast.
Yeah.
You always think coast is going to have that, you know, water polo and things like that, and they're going to have those facilities. For one, Claire told us this. I think she mentioned something about how many pools you have, right, to work out in. You have one pool here?
Yeah, we have eight facilities. Every high school has its own pool, and three of the intermediate schools, the ones that aren't ed centers. And the beauty of it for us is you know, there's all programs everywhere, but we can always find space to take care of our program. We have to move around a little bit, work with other programs, but our kids get pretty good pool time compared to most places.
I'm seeing kids, I come up to high schools, you drive up for something else or whatever, and I always see the lights on. And my kids went to Clovis West, so I was there a lot. Those lights are on at that pool, it seems like, all night.
Well, through the 1980s, I used to run with a lot of actually worked the Olympic Games in 84, got to meet and go to school with a lot of the Olympians. And I remember I was at a reunion 10 years ago, and one of the Olympic gold medalists was telling me that, well, you're up there where when I was coming up in college, the best facility that I ever saw, internationally speaking, everywhere, was at Clovis West. So that Clovis West facility in the 1980s and the late 70s was considered one of the most elite facilities in all of America, if not the world.
Even right now you look at it. So back then I can't imagine what it was like. And I know there's been some upgrades and things like
that. Very fast pool, very good. So you got a chance. Well, Coach John Magoo, did I get that right? Thank you so much, Coach, for coming in. Once again, when is this event? At what time and what date?
June 12th through the 15th.
Yep.
Prelims start at 9 a.m. and finals start at 6 p.m.
And the location is?
Clovis North.
Clovis North High School. Well, we'll put that out on the Twitter. Pag Meter will make sure he writes that up. Thank you, John.
9:40, I think, is advertising that on our on the roll. So we're hitting that hard right now.
Why not?
Yep.
Let's do it. Thank you, John. Thanks for coming in, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Good meeting you.
Well, there you have it. We'll get the Pag Meter back in here, and probably after the break. Let's go ahead and take a break, Nick Anderson. You're listening to 9:40, Central Valley's local sports leader. We'll be back. Don't turn that dial.
You're in the zone. Sponsored by Blast and Broom. Fashion furniture across from River Park, Helena Agri Enterprises, and 10 Tavern. With the Pag Meter and Big Cat Nick Anderson on 940 ESPN.
You
are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon here at 10 Tavern, it's the Pag Meter. It's the Big Cat, Nick Anderson, and Matty J in the house.
I think Nick Anderson needs to go in a studio and audition and do some karaoke with like ZZ Top.
Lou Rawls.
That song, LaGrange. Ha,
ha, ha. Oh, yeah, that there you go.
Ha, ha,
you think that'd be okay?
Red Rose, Red Rhyme, and that takes us down.
So I could be like a background guy.
Yeah.
Like I am right now, the color guy kind of shows up every now and then, but you have no idea, has no idea what he's talking about.
I always said you should have kept
that voice.
Do your entire show in that voice. I want to do an entire show. I already told you, Nick, we need to do an entire show in our high school show.
Yeah, just our.
That is just us in character.
Yeah.
Not being who we are,
but
in character.
It might take several episodes, Matt, to get that done.
So Nick's got that. What else we got, Nick, for you? Is that pretty much it?
Yeah, that's
it.
Pretty much. We've got a few. We've got a few of our character voices that we do.
Well, we got Tim Simons, and he'll be at the swim meet. Mr. Goo will be Mr. Magoo. And
yes, we
do. John? Will Coach Noakes be there?
Well, I think Mike Noakes hasn't been in a pool since 84. It's too cold.
And our one and only Paul Leffler.
Paul Leffler will be making an appearance. Beautiful day, succulent evening here at 10 Tavern.
Oh, the water's refreshing.
As we prepare for another.
Hey, Paul, if you're listening, don't shoot me.
Oh, we love him.
It's good stuff. I love the guy.
We do love him, and we want to give a little love out to Ray Ocanto, his partner in the 2008 World Series. Ray, get healthy. We're praying for you, and it's all going to work out, kid. Let's hope. Ray Ocanto, we're here at 10 Tavern. The place is packed, and a lot of partying going on tonight.
I think I know why.
Why is that?
Well, Matt just mentioned earlier. He said, school's out.
Oh, today's the final day.
Come on, for summer. Yeah, there you go.
Helen Agri Enterprises, I want to thank them. 559-261-9030. If you're a farmer, you definitely need to call that. And Rochelle will answer the phone. She'll get you directed wherever your trees are because they are the experts. I want to thank Darian Miller today, who's going to be a Milwaukee Brewer. Matt Frazier, who's going to be a Pittsburgh Pirate. And Mr. Magoo was in it. We got a big swim meet next week, and maybe, just maybe, make Michael Phelps will be here.
I think that's great. You're talking swimming. How long ago? What it seems like yesterday. It has been going on for a while. A little thing called mixed martial arts, the UFC, came along and created a vehicle for all these great college wrestlers to think about taking their amateur status, making no money, and parlaying that into a career in the fight game. And I think swimming is in desperate need of that. Track and field crossed the barrier years ago, where now these great track athletes, Jenna Prandini, have signed contracts with shoe manufacturers, are making six-figure deals or more to live their lives. It's not fair that only the football or the baseball or the basketball kid gets an opportunity to continue their career. It's great to see swimmers get paid a little bit and maybe have a career out of swimming.
You know, Nick always reminds me, and he always jabs me about being about that basketball guy, Matt. Man, maybe I'm a little bit more on that side, but he's right in this sense. How many baseball players does this valley kick out, whether it be to Division One, NCAA, intercollegiate? Uh-oh, that's a party foul right there.
Boy. We got a drop play in aisle four.
Big party foul on aisle four.
Well, you want to talk about it?
What I'm saying is that we're missing the boat here. I mean, Fresno, the Central Valley, is one of the top areas for baseball.
Well, clearly. And it's the only area or only sport in our area completely. We get caught up so much in these young men that are going off in this draft from Fresno State, from local high schools, they're getting paid. So they're professionals.
Well, let's look
at
this list.
Can you imagine if we had 15 high schoolers from around here that got into the NFL or get into pro football?
Let's look at the list. Fresno State, Ryan Jensen, first round. Big money. Okay, yeah. Big money.
12.
And I would have tried to start him after 2 days rest if it was possible. That guy's good.
Isn't
his stats,
isn't 12-1 rank up there with, I mean, he's got a top.
Oh, yeah.
His win-loss deal is huge.
Yeah, I think Stanford was hoping that he wasn't going to pitch in that last game. But I'm thinking, you know, with the big draft coming up, Mike Batesole was smart on that. Zach Ashford, former Buchanan Bear, sixth round with the Mets, leading off potentially. McCarthy Tatum, big boy. Did he grow after high school or what? McCarthy Tatum, drafted 10th round by the Phillies. J.D. Arruda, Buchanan Bear. Of course, Mark McCarthy Tatum is a Clovis Cougar. J.T. Arruda, selected 11th round by the Washington Nationals. And they're all negotiating right now. Catcher Carter Benz had a great series against Stanford. He's taken, he's taken by the Seattle Mariners. Davis Moore taken by the Washington Nationals. And then Alex Gamboa, one of the greatest athletes we've ever had in the history of high school sports.
Thank you for bringing that up. We should have brought it up earlier. Alec Gamboa, let's not even go any further than say it might be one of the great stories. The comeback kid had been through all types of different trials in his young career coming out of Madera High School, found a way to Fresno State, admittedly talks about his great issues he had with school. No, he went to Fresno State. And then from Fresno State, he didn't make the grade academically, moved out over to Fresno City, did the Tommy John surgery, had to fight his way back, and he's a draft pick.
But think about his career, an all-state wrestler.
He's the best high school athlete ever all around that I've ever seen come out of high school.
He was a wide receiver at Madera and broke the record for most catches, I believe, in a game. And then he, you know, 90-plus pitcher for Madera, finishes his career with the Fresno City College. His favorite team are the Dodgers, and he gets drafted and he signed with the Dodgers. Great story, huh? Let's go. Let's keep going. Who else we got? Tevin Mitchell, former Clovis Cougar. Played at UC Santa Barbara this year, and he signed, I think Tevin signed with the Arizona. Okay, there it is. No, I don't know where he signed. I don't have that down. Oh, the Brewers. No, I'll find it later.
What are you doing?
Buchanan Bears, Grant Grambrell, Oregon State. He signed with the Royals. Troy Steinbrück, who played for Golden West High School. Big, tall lefty.
He
signed with the Nationals.
I remember.
Carson Semus, Clovis West. 25th round, a Red Sox. Outstanding. He's a great kid. Hunter Bryan from Redwood signs with the Texas Rangers. Jack Harrell signs with the Cleveland Indians, but I believe he'll go to Fresno State. Well, we'll see on that one. Chet Allison, who I have a feeling of all these people in here, has a shot at the big leagues. This kid is improved. Clovis Cougar, Fresno City Ram, he got drafted by your Dodgers. So,
my Dodgers.
Doggy fan, Matt?
Of course I am. I'm from Los Angeles.
But you also like the Giants, too, which is kind of
common. Oh, I do. I like the Giants from the beginning simply because of Mark Gardner.
What about the
Angels? Then I started liking them a little bit more because I realized there's more. I'd never been an Angel fan, although I did hang out with Reggie Jackson once in college, and I was an Angel fan for the Freeway Series, Dodger Angels, and got to hang out under the clubhouse with Reggie Jackson. But once he opened his mouth, I realized I'm not a fan.
And you hung out with Cheryl Miller.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
apparently.
Why does that always come around?
Well, because, you know, it's just that time of night. Apparently nobody's an Angels fan, by the way. That's a long story. We'll get into that some other day.
Yeah. I don't know. I can admire the Angels back when Wally Joyner was playing and all that was going on.
Oh, I love that.
I enjoyed it, but they just could never seem to captivate the Southern California audience.
You know, the Giants and Dodgers will play after this show. Dodgers can win 83 in a row, and the Giants would be horrible, and they'll still probably win tonight.
It's just that
that's a rivalry game. I mean, that's truly a rivalry game.
Matt, didn't the Giants own the Dodgers last year?
I don't remember that, but I mean,
I think they may have.
I'm not saying it didn't happen.
I think they may have.
But clearly, the Los Angeles Dodgers have found their groove. Let's just hope, as Nick Pagmeter would jump in right away, that Coach Roberts,
Dave Roberts.
Dave Roberts doesn't, you know, mess him up during the run for the World
Series.
Well,
the third time's a charm, maybe. Maybe he'll figure it out.
Does Bruce Bochy just kind of look like he's just struggling right now a little bit? Not on the field, but just himself. I hope he's doing all right.
Well, yeah,
got the biggest head in America. New Arrow's got to make a special cap just to fit his head.
And his hip's going to pop at any moment.
You know,
the poor guy can't walk. But
the Giants
have everyone on their team is a number eight hitter. If they were on the Dodgers, they'd be hitting eight. Even Buster Posey would probably hit seven.
They probably wouldn't even be hitting.
Yeah, they'd be pitch runners.
But you can't complain. Anyone's had a run, magical journey that they've been on. I just sit back and just stop the complaints, people. You know, you'll hear it like after 1 year, then they're bad, and then everyone's talking on the radio about, you know, our Giants. You know, of course, they're the worst team in baseball. Who cares?
Hey, you
guys, when you climb the mountain as many times as they have.
That's normal, though.
You can deal
with it. I don't want to change the subject, but I want to talk about college right now.
Okay.
And there's my pet peeve, Matt, and you might agree, disagree, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm a college coach. Let's say I'm a tennis coach, and I'm recruiting foreign kids that come over here. What's your thought on that when these kids come over, but then when it's Olympic time, they go back and play for their country?
I'm absolutely sickened by it. I really am. God, great topic. I am absolutely floored by the level. I'm watching the NCAA track championships, which incidentally, Lalo Herrera, from the great runner from Madera South, who went on to Colorado Buffaloes, he's one of the great runners in state of California high school history, is in the finals of the 1500, which is great. He's already run. Well, actually, right about now, I imagine. I'm taping it at home. But the bottom line is, I'm watching the NCAAs on track and field, and every single race from Canada, from Brazil, from Nigeria, from England, from Latvia, all these international kids come over to our campuses in America, the great country that we have, utilize our academics, utilize our coaching, our facilities, get heavily involved, and the second they get all that education from us, they run back to their country, and then they come back and talk bad about us. I don't understand how we allow that many foreigners in to take – people want to get on to this college scandal of, you know, people giving out, you give them enough money, I'll get your kid into college, and we're making a big deal out of that. What about foreigners who come and occupy space on our college campuses, and they leave and come back to put it in our face?
It's about
winning.
I think
that's a sick
people want
to
win.
Into.
Just like we said 3 years ago, keep an eye on this transgender program coming up, and they're going to start taking over women's – the he-she's going to start taking over women's sports. We were 3 years ahead of the game. And we said, watch, because it's all about winning. Winning cures everything, and everybody wants to win. And if Nick Anderson's coaching a team and he wins, he gets to coach some more. And if he doesn't win because Matt Johnson brought in some people from overseas, they're winning instead. Nick's out of a job.
It would be perfectly fine, at least in my overall view, if all things were great on this planet and we all had a perfect euphoric society that we all live in, and it's a total global, not just economy, but we're all in this thing together. But with all the backlash that we get, this country gets from other places, why are we allowing so many collegiate athletes from different countries to come in? Texas Tech, the fastest man in America right now, He goes to Texas Tech, but he's not an American. He's a foreign national running for his country. He comes over here, scoops up all our medals, goes back to his country, then represents his country against America. If you want to be pro-global, if you want to be a nationalist, I don't mind whatever you are, but there has to be something wrong with the amount of foreigners that occupy the world of athletics in our country, in our college campuses. Last I checked, we pay the taxes for those colleges. I just don't know how it all shapes up. I don't pretend to know the details, but it can't be good.
Well, how about
pro sports too, right?
Well, how about women's basketball, Nick? And let's say, is there a lot more? Well, I know Fresno State has some Australian ladies coming over.
That's the connection there. I think that country there seems to dominate when it comes to women's basketball. And also on the men's side, too. There's certain schools that seem to do more of it each year. Like St. Mary's, for example, up in Moraga, who's typically a top 25 team on the men's side. Their roster generally has at least, I wouldn't say half, but a good portion, four or five, that are on that team that are from Australia year in and year out.
Yeah, evidently there's a rule by the NCAA that limits the amount of foreigners you can have on your intercollegiate sports teams, but almost every single race, every single jump, the leader in the clubhouse is not from our country.
Yeah.
But yet there's probably fair-minded athletes that need an opportunity, but they never receive it. I don't know. I just don't understand it. I really don't.
How do you feel about the amount of scholarships? They're giving full scholarships, right, Matt?
Yep.
Generally?
Yep.
How do you feel about not just coming over here, but occupying a spot on the roster, right? And actually,
that's my whole point.
You're paying for that, right?
What you're saying. Well, yeah. Track and field, like baseball, like basketball, boys and girls. Only one is football, which gives out 85 full scholarships. But the smaller sports have to divvy up a small amount of scholarships to go to these variety of student athletes. They're not probably receiving a full scholarship. I know there's something in there that they wrote into the bylaws of how the foreign athlete has to get here. But either way, they're occupying space that was somebody's paying for it. And if you only have 11.7 in a baseball team, let's say Arizona State baseball team has 11.7 scholarships to give, and three of those scholarships went to a breaking up for seven or eight athletes from a different country, we don't have enough kids in our own country to... I don't get how that works, obviously. I don't like watching intercollegiate sports in this country from all the unbelievably great universities we have and see people running home to their country with their gold medal that they took from our pocket, if you will. Okay, fine. But then you want to come back and represent your team in the Olympic Games back and try to beat us as Americans? I have a problem with that.
Have you seen anyone seen women's professional golf lately?
Oh, yeah. But, once again, that's professional.
Okay, so
that is professional, though.
Let's move into professional. How do you feel about the NBA Finals being in Canada right now?
If they pull it off, and they still got a long way to go, would this be the first ever?
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah, I'll just ask him.
But, no, I don't have a problem with that at all. Once again, it's professional. Yeah. Okay, it's the ultimate means of entertainment. It's professional.
You know what I have a problem with? I got a problem with the Yankees playing the Red Sox in England.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. I don't understand that. And now I found out next year the Cubs play the Cardinals in England. So the Cardinals are going to give up a home game in Busch Stadium to go to England.
So you miss out on the game is what you're saying. You could go to the game yourself.
There must be a lot of money for the Cardinals. I mean,
it's just trying to introduce that. But,
well, why?
But think about the NHL, for example. I don't know the answer to this. I'm just going to say this. Okay, so what is the makeup of the NHL in terms of a nationality? It's probably Canadian, right?
Russian, Canadian, it's a lot. There's
okay. Of course, yes.
So, Swedish. Then there's nothing from California, I can tell you that, so we don't know anything about hockey here, but you've got that Midwest up north, you know, the North Dakota.
It's a religion back there.
Absolutely. You know, those schools back there, they get more people that go to the hockey matches than they do. Is it matches? Am I wrong?
That is a world as a professional paid.
So you're saying professional's okay?
Of course it's okay. Yeah, we don't own
it's
coffee.
Your job.
We don't own the sport of golf, and we certainly don't own
the
other sports that we talk about. NBA basketball was invented here in America, but they go to international rules now. That's a worldwide sport. Talking about, which in case you weren't listening, college. I'm talking about American universities that are funding coaching staffs that are paying wages based on tax dollars at state colleges, and we're giving that to the hands of foreigners who come into our country, excel in the sport they're in, pick up all their medals, get all the best coaching, all the best facilities paid for by, guess what, U.S. taxpayers. They run back to their country and then go come back to put it in our face, college athletics.
Are you okay with transgender? We don't know if it's a man. We don't know if it's a lady on steroids winning women's championship in a track. Are we okay with that?
Of course we're not. No, of course we're not okay
with
that.
Well, how far are we going to go before? Because right now, I think they're saying, bring on a lawsuit. We're going to go until we go.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, coaches are going, hey, we can win this thing because technically.
I err on the side. It's not my line, and I'm certainly not going to use the line on air. But there's a distinguishing factor.
Can I?
You can say it all you want.
Absolutely.
It's pretty simple to me. And here's your test, okay? If you have a flipper in twins, you are on the boy's side. End of story. Now, but the ladies, they got to figure out because high school, for example, there's no steroid testing. You could be on all the steroids you want in high school, but not in college. So how does that stop? I mean, when we find out Bernice, is a 6'2", 220, but she's on steroids, and now she's competing in the women. Yeah. But really, she should be with the men.
Well, as of right now, it sets a microscopic, small, minuscule amount of actually going on. But have I been saying it forever, which I have? I sat in locker rooms in professional world of sports and in college theater. When you're done with the game, you go to your locker. When you are finished and ready to get to the showers, of course, you have to take your clothes off. As you're marching to the shower, there's a female reporter in your locker. It's been going on for how many years? No one's talking about it. No one cares. But don't let Nick Papagni, the pag meter, be inside the WNBA's locker room during the shower experience. If you're going to have great athletes, I've coached them before, female athletes participate in certain boys' sports, how long was it going to take before some boys started figuring out, I need to get in the girls' sport because I identify as a female. I want to play in the girls' sport.
Here's my thing.
That's what we're talking about right now.
I don't care if you identify it. It's a simple deal. Flipper twins. If you have them, I can feel like a grizzly bear and want to go hang out at the zoo, but I'm not a grizzly bear. Okay, but I feel like one.
Oh, of course. Common. Just the obvious, what you're stating, but apparently that's not the rule, Mr. Pagmeter, because I just watched a girl run up and down the 100-meter and 200-meter track, win a state championship, not in our state, and she was clearly a guy. She did not identify as a boy or a man, but she still was allowed to win and run, and she collected the medal. Meanwhile, the family who had the other daughter who was runner-up had to go out and feel really horrible about themselves. At some point, get ready, because the lawsuits are backing up.
Yeah.
Someone's going to make a ruling on all this. If your son whoops up on a girl at the California State Wrestling match, and he's not fully in the testosterone level of a female, at some point, someone's going to make a ruling. They just haven't got to that level yet.
But that will, California.
That will be talked about.
No.
It will be talked about, and it will be dealt with. It's being dealt with Semenya, the world's greatest 800-meter runner, who, by the way, just won the Diamond League 400-meter dash. Semenya's from South Africa. Clearly looks like a guy to me, but she's winning the world championships, gold medals, and they're trying to say if we can get her level. That's what bothers me on the other side of things. You mean you have to inject drugs into that athlete to water down so you really identify your hormones and all the things they can measure, testosterone measures as a female now. Who wants to be injected with all that stuff? At some point, reasoning has to take over, and we have to come up with a good solution to this because it's happening right now.
I wonder what Jenna would think, Prandini. I wonder if she asked her that question. She'd probably be kind of maybe off the radio, but I wonder how she feels about all this.
Well, you don't have to do anything more. I just said, Semenya, watch the matches, or the matches, watch the events that she's running. When she wins, which she inevitably wins everything.
Sure.
The other girls, they're already looking around like, am I being punked right now? Is this really happening? I just got beat by a potential man, but why is this happening? There's a lot of female athletes who are not happy about it.
Potential.
Identifies testosterone level as a man. The body parts look to be presented as a female.
I always thought
that is not what he's talking about, which is the flipper thing he's talking
that's
about.
That's Pagney you're talking about.
Yeah, Flipper not and the identifying twins. With that.
He is just always, never a holdback.
I always thought Brittany Griner was, when you she interviewed, well, I tell you, we played Texas A&M today.
You understand, you know, I got some... if your show can last through this, without
this is why backlash, people don't want to touch
Matt, are you okay on Fridays?
No, I'm done, period. Are you kidding me right now? You pulled out Brittany Griner.
You boys said it. All I'm saying.
Got a little Fresno State going.
There you go.
Hey, congratulations on the Fresno State baseball team.
Absolutely.
Mike Batesel, great job. And everyone, I got his email. Hey, is Mike Batesel going to go to USC since he got, you know, the job opening? Heck no. Mike Batesel's a Bulldog. He's going to be a Bulldog a long time, and he loves it here. So I love that. So, Mike, congratulations on a great year. We need to get Mike on sometime.
When is Mike Bolt? Is he up for the SC job?
We've been waiting. We've been waiting for you to do that, Nick.
Oregon has got a new job opening. Washington State, absolutely. USC. We're giving away some tickets, I believe. But I want to thank JoJo back in the studio. Nick Anderson, great job. Matty J.
Got it, Nick.
Matt Frazier, Darian Miller, Mr. Magoo in talking Clovis swimming. And we're here at Team Tavern. Come on down this weekend. This is the place to be. I just want to thank everyone here. This is,
well, sure you do.
I love this place.
I just want to thank everybody.
Yeah, let's just thank it all. We love everybody. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will be back at Blast and Brew on Friday, and you'll be in Virginia.
I will be in Virginia on location.
On location, and Matt will be sitting right here if we still have a show. Have a great weekend. You've been listening to 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
And as Matt says, get in the game.